Alexander Robotnik's Problème d'Amour introduces Cassettes and Chocolate Milk numero 21, an Italo disco podcast produced in honour of Shame FM. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Shame FM, it is the mythical radio station and embarrassed brainchild of myself and Adam 1.0 from the Super Mikado Project. I owe a considerable debt of gratitude to 1.0, as he was the first to expose Italo disco to me, and in turn, I am compelled to expose Italo disco to you in this very extended edition of CNCM. Problème d'Amour would have to be the most appropriate introduction to Italo I could possibly think of. The single was released in 1983, coinciding with the emerging popularity of Italo in Central Europe. Robotnik famously remarked that Problème d'Amour came into being when a friend suggested that he should write a dance track. A lot of money was to be made. The friend insisted that even a crap record could shift 10,000 units. Coincidentally enough, Problème d'Amour sold exactly 10,000 units. Yet before you say anything about the song being crap, Problème d'Amour happens to be one of the most celebrated dance tracks of the entire Italo movement. Another seminal record from around the same time is Hypnotic Tango from My Mind. Very little is known about the group themselves. One source will tell you that they're German, another will tell you that they're French, another will tell you that they're Italian. Damn you, interweb, so unreliable. But origins aside, Hypnotic Tango is among the most influential records of the entire era, successfully embodying the Italo sound, a true staple in any Italo megamix. You may find it hard to believe, especially after listening to Give Me the Night from Facts and Fiction, but Italo had a hard time garnering any credibility. In fact, if you do any vague Italo research on the web, if you read anything even by the most impartial music writer or ardent Italo lover, in fact, you're likely to encounter words such as cheesy, tacky, or disposable. I've given some thought as to why this is the case. A part of it, of course, is the very nature of the sound itself, that synth sound that is quite cheap, actually, and they're cheap also in the way that they're used and reused in a lot of these records. In the December issue of 1985's Record Mirror, Neil Tennant of the Pet Shop Boys described his own attraction to Italo records, saying that they always sound like they're dead cheap. It's their appeal. It's a bit like punk records. They go in and get very excited by the most banal sounds and rhythms. We're very attracted to banal sounds and rhythms. Also, the lyrics in Italo can easily be described in the same way. They're often dismissed as silly, ridiculous, meaningless, that sort of a thing. And it's hard to form any sort of genuine affinity with the lyrics themselves. And this is because it was a very popular thing, particularly in the early days of Italo, to sing in a confused form of broken English. And often you'd have artists who wouldn't know any English at all, and so in typical form they would have to learn their words phonetically. Of course, this method would result in often baffling lyrics which made no sense, and they were usually about love and sometimes about capsicum. Now, more music demonstrating everything I've just said. This is Miko Mission's 1984 record, The World Is You. the 1986 single from English singer Eddie Huntington, USSR. The story goes that Eddie had a phone/video audition with the Italian label, Baby Records. The label execs played him USSR over the phone. He agreed to sing the song, and a week later he was flown to Milan to record with producers Turati and Chiorigato. The song was released into the Italian charts and it became a big hit, so the story goes. The odd thing about Italo is that this is a very typical story. In Italo, there is an unusually high level of reverence for the recording labels and producers involved. I would go so far as to say that in Italo, the artist is very much a disposable construct. The artist is never so much the singer themselves, but a pseudonym which encompasses the singer, the producer, and the record company. Some people believe that this was a very deliberate and very cunning business decision on behalf of the record labels. Instead of investing in any one singer, they would invest in the brand name of the artist. It was thought to be a cheaper way to produce music and to control the singers. After all, if any one singer was giving them lip or they were demanding any more money, they would simply get rid of them and hire someone else to do the job without complaint. This equation of the singer plus producer equals the artist is very much echoed in the relatively recent work of Swedish artist and Italo revivalist Sally Shapiro. In true Italo style, Sally Shapiro is a pseudonym encompassing herself, whoever she is, and her producers Johan Ayobjörn. There is a farcical air of secrecy surrounding her true identity, which is all a bit stupid. After all, she has a Twitter. But anyway, this is Save Your Love from her second LP, My Guilty Pleasure.
Remember every minute of the other night.
Another Italo revivalist, London DJ Ali Renault with his record Cuffs. So Italo wrapped up around 1986, 1987 or thereabouts. It never really enjoyed worldwide mainstream success as such, but it achieved a great deal of popularity in and around the New York and Chicago underground club scenes. Legendary Chicago DJs The Hot Mix 5 frequently played Italo tracks on their radio show on WBMX. It was said that WBMX commanded an audience of about 500,000 listeners, 1/6 of the city's population, and apparently people would cross state borders just to catch their show, which is quite remarkable. It's said as a direct consequence of this airtime that Italo had a lasting influence upon the Chicago dance scene. Italo morphed into space disco and then eventually became Eurodance in the early to mid-90s. Its influence is palpable in so many different manifestations, both in dance and pop music. Even still, it's so easy to be nasty and dismissive and mean about Italo. I know that even those who have a deep passion for the genre have simply given up defending it. It's just, what can you say, really? The attraction defies all rational explanation. You cannot identify with the artists or the lyrics because simply this is manufactured music, and thousands of these records were produced under the same formula. We're somehow compelled to forget our traditional notions of sincerity and rock and roll authenticity, and we're simply left with these beats and melodies. And I guess that makes us feel a little bit uneasy. I'll leave you with an example of space disco, or otherwise a very late example of Italo, just to thank you all for listening to this very, very long edition of Cassettes and Chocolate Milk. This is Hypnosis with their 1987 single, Droids.